right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best Ranked. Fuck. Okay.
Yes. Best Ranked Pottery. That's this podcast right here. We are finding the best ranked pottery.
Potters. We're digging out clay by the riverbed. We're firing it. We're going to throw it out our window when we're done with it. We're going to be discovered by some nerd 1,000 years later. Fuck. Probably going to be kept in, isn't it? Whatever. Welcome to another episode of West Bank Robbery. We're your hosts. I am Bassam, and today we have AP with us for the millionth day in a row.
Yes, always positive.
We have a couple stories for you guys today. No good news, I don't think. Do we have any good news? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. The Iranians penetrated Israeli airspace with
many missiles. There's lots of good news. What are you talking about? Come on, there's tons of good news.
And the Hashemite dogs have revealed themselves as such once again.
We saw some great things. Good news, 99% of the Iranian terror tubes were struck down by the mighty Iron Dome, 100% Israeli-defended.
Israeli peace cylinders against the Iranian terror polygons.
Yeah, so there's a good news there is that Israel relies on no foreign countries for aid or help. They could defend their territory entirely by themselves, and they also defend it perfectly. Without missing important missile.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You got any thoughts on that? I feel like it went pretty well. Like seeing some of the videos out of the West Bank of just guys looking into the sky and being like, holy shit. Yo, check that out. The Ayatollah came through.
It was kind of cool. And I do understand the argument for the military significance of first flushing out where the air defenses are, where air defenses are going to come from foreign countries that are providing aid to Israel, which we know that the vast majority, basically all of the drones were shot down by Americans. And so now we know where these air bases are. You know where the anti-air defenses are.
I don't know anywhere.
You're seeing where you would potentially where the Iron Dome is weakening. I mean, you're seeing this with Hezbollah is now being able to strike 30 kilometers into Israeli territory.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like if its main impact is going to be like the analyzing of like air defense of that. I'm sure there's going to be a bit of that, but just the Iranians directly attacking Israel, you know, like they don't only own 300 missiles or whatever, like drones. They want, they'll send like, you know, 50K, yeah.
Okay, so yes, that paradigm change is also a positive, you know, development.
Huge.
But it is also, it was a bit of a media spectacle. You know, this wasn't a strike that crippled, you know, Israel in any way. It didn't cripple their ability or damage their ability in any way to wage war in Gaza. You know, this didn't really strike at super important targets. It felt like...
I like that they hit an air base. Because an Israeli air base is the most evil structure on Earth. You know, it's the worst thing that you can do with concrete, I think.
Yeah. But they didn't disable the air base. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that bombs falling on Israel is a bad thing. I'm just saying that the context of the strike, it felt, you know, it felt a little bit like, you know, we're going to show off what we can do. I mean, the whole, we're sending our drones. It's going to be 8 hours until they get there. Like,
no, I know what you're saying.
It's unclear exactly how Israel retaliated, right? Was it the quadcopters? Was it a missile strike? Was it an airstrike? It seems to be a little unclear.
Yeah, you know, I'm just, it was a threat. I'm sure if Israel retaliated, there would have, I don't know, maybe even the end of the world or something. It's definitely shifted what's going to happen.
Well, I like that reporting. I saw where the Israelis were, or the Americans were asking the Iranians if Israel could do a meaningless strike on them to save some face, and the Iranians said no.
It seemed half-assed. It seemed like they did something when the Americans told them no. You know,
but then, I mean, then Israel did pull off a meaningless little. I mean, if the thing is that it needed to be successful, right, for the Israelis, but they did pull off their little meaningless, you know, super technological. If the quadcopter story is true, you know, we're gonna use the super high tech, the newest shit, and we're gonna pull off a little special forces raid, and we're gonna bomb the nuclear site or whatever the fuck.
Can they just hit like a reactor or something? Just like, you know, they're upset. Can we? Can you guys let them do that and not retaliate? Can you? Could you like be like, "Wow, I'm a little baby," on TV for the Israelis to feel better? Just call them and say you're a little baby. That's so funny. God damn it, dude. An American diplomat is the weakest man on earth when he's faced with any sort of like actual military opposition. It's immediately like, come on, please, I'm just a little guy.
That would have been the spin though, is that we had hit the nuclear facility or whatever. But then, I mean, they obviously failed in that because they couldn't spin it as anything positive. I mean, I did see a
Twitter journalist say, actually, what really happened, I've gotten a tip from the Israelis. They were sending a nuclear bomb at Iran, and the Iranians shot down the plane.
That's crazy.
I don't think that happened.
That dude's insane.
Anything, I think that makes the Israelis look better, because at least they tried to respond, you know?
That's crazy. That's crazy that like, I believe that.
This was like a semi-reputable journalist. Too. I was like, damn, dude, your Israeli source burned you. You're probably not as important.
I guess these guys have gone, you know, kind of full North Korea. They're just making shit whatever they can make up.
And revealed it in a tweet.
Like they do about North Korea. You can make anything up, and you know, and it's like now you can get printed. Front page
story.
Now you can just make anything up about this you want.
Yeah. I'll believe anything about it. You know, Netanyahu executed his uncle, the Philly cheesesteak or something. Another event that happened, which I think is potentially just as significant. Hezbollah targeted a mobile anti-air system from the Israelis. Or an IDF anti-air, like mobile anti-air system. You know, like a truck with like anti-air surface-to-air missiles. And then, you know, a few days later, just sends a bunch of missiles. Essentially, nothing's intercepted. So I think that has also changed the calculation.
The video I watched was pretty great of the missiles coming down. And then the sirens going off after everything has already hit and exploded. I'm sure that has got to be making you feel real safe.
That's so funny. That's not what you want to hear. Like my leg, and then like the wee woo. Have you ever heard a Israeli air raid siren? You know what they sound like?
Yeah, I was just listening to it in this video.
Yeah, it's crazy. They go wah! I'm just a little guy. I gotta hide. I don't know why they make them like that. But yeah, so like that, I think that's definitely changed the Israeli like targeting threshold for their anti-air. That truck is definitely more valuable than any living person up in the north, or really anything in the north, probably. So imagine they've pulled all those out of there. If not like institutionally decided that, I'm sure your average captain or whatever is like, this shit's way too valuable. It's more valuable than any of you or this fucking country. It's not as valuable as my job, which is why I need to keep this thing safe. That should be interesting, and that should help them out in the future. Luckily, the United States has just sent, what is it, $16
billion? No, I haven't, you know, I do not keep up with the numbers. And I wonder how much this shit translates into, I mean, it's probably all there. Written out this much in bombs, this much in bullets.
Yeah, and they've extended like some lines of credit. There's like a death squad, like friends association, where they all like loan each other money. Oh, it's like the IMF, but the first letter's different. Whatever. It also includes money for Ukraine, and I think the border is gonna have to wait. Maybe
we're not gonna build the wall.
That one got through. Oh, it also banned TikTok. Which I don't know if that is just, that's what they needed to do.
I did follow this because I'm a TikTok addict. So I was very upset by this.
And that's also, I'm not, but it's also being misrepresented, I feel like, in the media. It's not a TikTok ban. They're trying to steal TikTok. It's like piracy. They're just like, if you do not sell us this company and let us, you know, put American and Israeli troops TikTok dancing and make people like them. We're not, you know, you're banned. I hope they just fucking say no. I hope American have to go without TikTok. That would be the most, like, cutting sanction I can think of.
The TikTok. This shit is so funny. And the fact that BlackRock already owns a good 40% of ByteDance, it's so funny.
I don't know. I just hope TikTok stands their ground.
Of course they're gonna stand their ground. The thing is, like, American viewership make up like less than 30% of TikTok viewers. And TikTok is not even the largest portion of the business. So I mean, I don't know. I think it'll be another cell phone by our genius in chief.
I don't know. I hope they don't, but I could very easily see them doing it anyway. I don't know. We'll have to see. I gotta say, I'm not familiar with TikTok's game. We'll have to see how they play. It'd be cool if they start just like increasing.
As far as I know, TikToks.
They actually do like start manipulating.
They said that they will not sell. Back when this first started, so I don't think they're gonna sell. And like I said, America is a very small portion of TikTok viewership, which is already, I believe, small.
It's a developing nation.
So I don't think it's going anywhere.
We'll see. They'll probably bring the guy up before Congress and try to figure out what kind of Chinese he is. I don't think that question was answered for a majority of the members of Congress.
Okay. TikTok ban covered. Iranian strike covered.
Invasion of Rafah?
Invasion of Rafah has not started yet.
But maybe starting very soon. It's tough to tell. I don't know.
This shit is fucked.
I don't know what they're going to do. What's the plan?
Kill a bunch of people?
Yeah, that seems to be it.
I mean, that's just the plan. That seems to be the... move
them north? Like, what's the
issue? That seems to be the plan.
Yeah, it is just kill a bunch of people.
And we're going to go here and we're going to kill a bunch of people and destroy a bunch of shit. And, I mean, it's just, it's so fucked. They're so fucking evil.
Yeah. Really, not a fan. I don't like them.
Yeah. Not fans.
I hope their state is lost to memory. I hope it becomes a fun fact. You know, like in a, like, 1,000 year from now EU7 game. Oh, look at this place. You know what? This place, you can make it Palestine again if you do
that. Yeah, exactly. Thing. You can.
Or you can make it Israel, you know?
Exactly.
There's a 3-month period, there's a 3-term period in the mid 40s where you can make this, you can change this country's tack.
No, it'll be the freaks that'll be creating Greater Israel. Like all the guys who go on play Victoria 2 just to play as Prussia to form Germany.
Oh my god, just accidentally becoming like teenagers becoming monarchists by playing EU7. Like, oh my god, I you guys heard about Zionism? It's a very unique political ideology. It was around the 20th century. Just not getting laid, getting in chat on their Discord 2 server, talking about Zionism. Maybe doing a mass shooting. But they'll be speaking Chinese. I don't know. With Rafah, it's kind of up to regional escalation to really punish the Israelis.
I mean, the shit about Egypt helping is bleak.
What a terrible state.
I heard reports of, Egyptians being called up to go help the invasion of Rafah, which will be horrible. I mean, it's just really bleak. I mean, they just want to kill a bunch of people because they can't win against Hamas currently. They're basically, the only way that they can win is by killing everyone, it seems. And it doesn't look like, I don't know. I feel like they haven't worked themselves up into the frenzy enough.
No, it would take a while. They're trying to expel people. That's kind of the whole game plan, but it hasn't worked yet. We'll just have to see. I'd like to see Hezbollah level something. Really like to see that, but we'll see what happens. Negotiations are ongoing. There's a meeting between the factions and China, right? Or is China just brokering the talks between the Palestinian factions?
Yes, I did see something about Hamas and Fatah speaking about creating a popular front, which would be pretty big. It would be pretty big.
It would be pretty baller. I've been saying, Mahmoud Abbas, you pick up a gun, I'm with you. You are my man. You are Abu Mazen. Like, I'm with you. I will join Fatah if Abbas kills a guy. I don't have a problem with that. You know, you can buy my vote.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess that can be some positive news about that. It's just unclear exactly what the Israeli army is going to do. Their little holding pattern seems to be working poorly for them. They're taking a lot of attritional losses. In the North, like we've already talked about with Hezbollah.
I've seen that the U.S. has agreed to a Rafah invasion in exchange for the Israelis not retaliating against the Iranians, which I don't know if I believe that.
Well, that was I saw that, but that was before the Israeli quadcopter. Though I saw there was that great Iranian newspaper that that had it was the clown copter incident.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that. Man, Yahoo like a PS2 controller.
Yeah, I mean,
But it was also, you know, that happened. The money just got there, and that was after the quadcopter. So it's not clear really what's happening. Though I did see, and I do believe this, that Anthony Blinken called Abu Mazen Mahmoud Abbas and said, look, if you stop talking about Palestinian statehood, you can meet President Biden. You can come to America without us arresting you, and you can meet him. Which is just the most fucking audacious, crazy. I'm surprised he said no, but that is such an insulting offer that even like Abbas says no. That's crazy. Trade everything for dinner with Biden? Not even dinner. Like talk to Biden.
Yep.
Unless he was gonna kill him. There's no reason why he would take that offer. That's crazy. Lots of presidents have met with Palestinian leaders. It always goes poorly. It's never like been a sign of like great change coming for the people. You meet with an American president, it's like you get fucking cursed. You become diseased. You start wasting. Not good.
Give up Palestine, and you can come. Yeah, you can come to the cookout. Don't worry.
Dinner with Jay-Z or $500,000. Yeah.
Dinner with Jay-Z or free Palestine. Which do you choose?
Yeah. Well, like if you meet with Jay-Z, you can figure out how to free Palestine with like a really good song, you know? Or crime. You can get away with a lot of stuff if you're Jay-Z. He can cover stuff up for you.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean. The Rafah stuff is bleak, and it does feel somewhat like we're powerless here. But there are some people that are not feeling powerless on our college campuses.
Those are the fucking students.
Oh, I was going to say the cops that are rightfully taking back our campus.
The cops, but oh my god! Oh my god! Yeah, they were going crazy, dude, in Texas. They were like. Coming fully loaded, each cop was carrying enough fucking bullets to kill like an entire school.
Yeah, seeing the pictures of the snipers on the roof, we got to make sure that we.
They do that in DC too. I'm like, what's the sniper for? Who are you there to take out? Like a guy like popping up with an RPG, like in a Call of Duty.
That girl's hair, it's too blue. It's a social justice master.
Yeah, the blue ones have like water powers. They can like throw ice. Red haired ones. Fire, no tracks, you know, fire in the crowd. I don't know. I was at GW today, actually. I drove by, I wasn't there very long, but it was pretty big. I think it'll be bigger tomorrow. I was pretty impressed. This seems like something that has really, really upset the United States and the people in power. So I say good luck to you kids. I'll probably go back tomorrow. I'll bring them some like pizza and shit, hang out.
George Washington is a right wing. He's usually considered a pretty right wing kind of like elite university, right?
It's like a fancy school,
yeah, right? For like fancy boys, right? A little bit.
It's a little bit of a fancy school, yeah. There's a couple of fancy boy universities. You know, there's Georgetown. There's American University. American University, which I believe is still the most expensive university in the United States. I don't know. But either way, the GW has become the focus of all the student organizing in the broader DC metropolis.
Okay. So do students from the other universities kind of go there?
From the, you know, the George Mason Pinochet department, the fucking Scalia Law School, the fucking Koch Business Center.
It's just, it's very interesting that these are the places where you're seeing
Himmler Psychology School.
So much student organizing at.
Yeah, the only fucking places with like robust social sciences departments kind of makes sense.
Columbia, George Washington.
They're being taught about shit.
Here in Chicagoland, there was a big encampment that just started at Northwestern University. which cool. was surprising as well. This is another extremely, extremely expensive top tier university. It's just,
it's good. I'm fine with it. That's
lit. Interesting. It's very interesting to see that there's a real schism that's happening. You know, among their, I mean, these kids are like the richest kids. These, and you're seeing also within these institutions like the New York Times or the university administration and faculty, this rift between the Zionists and the anti-Zionists. It's very interesting.
I don't even know if that's true. Every fucking Zionist, like, fucking virgin on these campuses is getting, like, a megaphone. They're being, like, blasted onto the moon. They're being projected up there to just fucking, like, cry and go, I feel unsafe. It seems very broadly popular, judging by the fact that, like, the second Columbia got attacked, like, I don't know, like, fucking 200 encampments popped up, like, immediately. It did not take a lot of prodding in preparation to get this many people
out. No, I mean,
there was, like, fucking 2,000 people at GW. Like, at minimum, like, people were like, I could see 2,000 people. I didn't even, like, you know, I didn't go all the way into it. I kind of stopped by and said, what's up? I was on my way.
No, it's definitely, I mean, this is definitely an expression of...
I might get an interview there when I go there.
Of the general popularity of anti-Zionism. I mean, at every sector, at every level of society, it's surprising. It's just, it's very surprising to me to see this schism in American society. I feel like nothing has... I shouldn't say that. It's just surprising to see that you're seeing these open battles. I mean, even during the Black Lives Matter protests, you didn't see open conflict within institutions over it. It's really surprising.
No, because, you know, institutions are kind of supposed to be in favor of, like, Black people having rights.
Exactly.
So they can, like, lie and say, no, we've always been about this. But with Palestinians, it's like, I thought we killed you. What the fuck? Where did all these people come from? We have to deal with this right now.
They're trying. Many people have said this, but, crazy. But, you know, Israel is really, like, one of the most anti-Semitic countries. And they believe all the shit that the Nazis said about Jews. I feel like these the Likudniks, they really believe. When this war started, they were like, all right, we need to activate our agents that control the American press, and we need to tell them to only print good stories about us. And then, you know, and it's just not, unfortunately for them, it's just not true that Jews control the press in the U.S.
No, the Palestinians do. That's what's clear, you know? We've embedded ourselves.
I mean, even
these meetings, they meet at these buildings.
Even outside, you know, of the fact that every Friday, that none of these institutions now that can actually control media in this country, and everyone gets their news from YouTube and TikTok and from podcasts and from browsing their phone. They even these institutions that they thought they controlled, they don't actually control. And it doesn't work like some sort of anti-Semitic conspiracy.
The crime's definitely evil place. They've not let up. I was listening to NPR today on the way to and back from DC. It's crazy, man. I did notice a pretty big shift. I think it was on The Daily, which is that New York Times podcast that didn't publish the fucking screams without words.
The atrocity Hamas propaganda.
Slave taking raid one. Yeah. They said Israel-Gaza war, which I found pretty significant. And they quoted Jose Andros and, like, talked about the, like, seven aid workers that were, like, murdered in, like, a really crazy way. Like, that was crazy. They killed them so systematically. I didn't even know a drone strike could be that, like, fucking, like, serial killer. That was, like, fucking insane. Like, I'd wait for them to get to the first. They did not quote, like, an Israeli source after that said they were terrorists, which I found pretty interesting. They didn't say Israel-Hamas war, and they didn't qualify, although Jose Andres' statement was like, and Israel, of course, denies this and says that there were terrorists in the car, or something like that, which I found pretty interesting. That seemed like actually a pretty major misstep. Bombing the embassy, killing those aid workers, and leaving Al-Shifa to be examined by people and like people who could get out of there and explain, like tell what happened all in the same fucking like 28 hour period. Really bad move. They pissed off the entire world, I think. And when the Iranians struck back, I feel like, you know, who could blame them, really? Like, it doesn't even seem like the U.S. could really blame the
Iranians. You would think like, well, that if there was one group of people that could figure out a way to blame the Iranians, it would be the commenters on r/worldnews. But even there, I saw plenty of people. Your most deranged naphoid was saying...
The worst people on Earth, yeah.
Was saying, well, you know, Iran was just retaliating to Israel's illegal strike on their embassy.
It really was so illegal.
So, I mean, there was no one in the world that could look at that.
When the Israelis did that and the U.S. didn't immediately go, this is completely illegal, you are not allowed to do this. It was like, okay, Israel has to get attacked now. Do you see what you did? If you just said bad Israel, maybe did some minor sanction or something, nobody had to get rocketed. You know, you could have prevented an escalation very easily. But no. It's like, okay, you're not going to take care of your kid, buddy. Fucking bring him here. Around, just slapped him around in the grocery store. Which, you know, not a nice thing to do, but I don't think anybody was complaining.
It's very bleak because as they lose, I feel like the intensity of the pogroms and the killings are going to increase.
Yeah, they will.
And it's very bleak. To me,
things could be worse.
But I do see their country ending, which is positive. I mean, it just seems like that they're gonna go down in this horrible orgy of violence. They just can't. It's like when you're shoplifting, and you get caught, and you can't get mad you got caught. That's the game. But the police also can't get mad when you get away. Right, they can't be like those fucking shoplifters. God damn it, I hate them so goddamn much. No,
they should
be
like, you're there.
Damn, he got away. Oh well.
Yeah, you know they're job creators.
Like it's part of the game.
No, I don't. I've never been caught by the police for anything. I've never been convicted of anything, and I've never been caught stealing.
So I just
try not to make a habit of it.
I just don't get it. These guys should be like, okay, we failed. We couldn't. You know, our dream of endless raves from the entire 11 is no more. We're not going to get it anymore.
We're not going to be able to rave in Riyadh. Yeah. Not happening.
No.
We're not going to convert.
We can rave in Riyadh. Let's just leave and then we can then go fucking rent out one of these giant mega hotels in Riyadh and party there.
Yeah, why doesn't everybody offer them that? People are always like, oh, you know, we'll make a new Israel in London or Bavaria or something. Why doesn't everybody ever recommend Riyadh? You know, they seem to get along great with those guys. I don't think they'd have any trouble with their neighbors.
I think, you know, there does not have to be
a Bahrain.
There does not have to be an Israel. They don't have to. They don't need to go to Bavaria.
I don't know. I'd like to punish London. I feel like that would be a good punishment.
It would be funny.
Would be placing Israel in the greater London metropolitan
generally,
area. I think they deserve
generally
that.
I'm in favor of ironic punishments. But I think that we need to get rid of, you know, 19th and 20th century nationalism. It's time to go. We need to move on to, you know.
And we can at least bring it to the 20th century. We can at least bring back, just at least cut off the 19th century nationalism, I think. I don't think that's unreasonable, you know?
No. We need to move on. We need to do 21st century intergalacticism or whatever the fuck. Come on. We're done with the nationalism stuff. Space Force. We're in the future now.
Sure. I'm a pro. So if anti-Deutsch is the thing, okay, I'm a pro Palestine. All states should be abolished. Israel the first and Palestine the last. That's good, huh?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Okay.
That's good. Yeah, no, I don't have an issue with that. I feel like that describes my politics pretty well. Maybe Germany first. Maybe I'm also anti-Deutsch.
Anti-Deutsch just means pro-Israel, though, right?
Yeah, but in like the most annoying way possible. It also means you're racist.
But against Irish people or whatever, right?
And Catholics, Arabs and Catholics, or Turks. Really hate the Turks. Arabs are like a worse kind of Turk to those guys. They're like, oh my God, a super Turk. They're beyond the mountains. You know, that's right. These are the people the Turks are afraid of. I wonder if they're pro-Armenian. It's like a way to get back against the Turks. And the Armenians are Christian.
That's so interesting. No, they're probably not, though. Even though Azerbaijanis are probably considered like some sort of mountain Turk.
No, they like Israel. Or at least the Azerbaijani government.
That's what I was going to say. The Armenians are getting funded by their genocide is getting funded by Israel. So the anti-Deutsche are probably pro.
Okay, so I'm looking up Jungle World. Turns out the Bronx Zoo also has a Jungle World. Jungle World is a left-wing anti-German weekly newspaper founded in 1997. It's known for its anti-nationalist and cosmopolitan positions, reflecting those of the undogmatic left in Germany, online only. They think Armenians are Arabs. Cut this out. I'm going to find this. Armenia. Wait, fuck. Now I got to figure out what Armenia is in German.
Doesn't matter. These fuckers, who cares? Come on. Germany is a fucking annoying country. Come on. It doesn't matter that much. This is something that a mutual acquaintance of ours has asked. Why the fuck do people care so much about Germany? Like, it's not that big of a country. It's not that important in world affairs. Like, why do people care so much about the politics of Germany?
It's
I know why Americans. I know why Americans care about it
for like Israel existing.
I know why Americans care about it, but.
They provide a lot of like social and political cover. It's also like a fake country. It's an American military base in the middle of Europe. It is the most important country in Europe as well.
I'm going to disagree about that. It's as important as the Netherlands.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Netherlands, think of Europe. How important the Netherlands is.
Pretty important.
Not anymore.
They destroyed Indonesia.
Not anymore.
They destroyed Indonesia. You're right.
These places are not important countries.
Great standard of living.
Indonesia is an important country. That's an important country.
Yeah, and it's very similar to Germany.
No, because no one knows anything about the politics of Indonesia. No one talks about the fucking politics of Indonesia. Indonesia
is very in vogue right now. It's hip right now. That book came out about the Indonesian politicide. Europe's important. I don't like it either, but Europe is important. I'm sorry to report this. They're kind of in the news a lot.
They're in the news a lot.
It's where all my money is. It's where they put all my money. They have all of our money.
It is not that important.
Not even all of our money. They have all of the money. They just have all the money over there. That's very important.
No. No, no.
They're like a vault.
No, 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 no. These also, fuckers.
Also, you can take a train.
These guys, from, like, it's not a place important. Where the, it's know. Not important. But is there any rubber in Russia?
That's a great
question. What about rare earth metals, huh?
Yeah, right.
What's that shit called? Lithium, huh?
Yeah. What about? Do they have any fucking aluminum in Russia? Do they have any gas?
Russia is not a European country. So, first of all, we're not talking about that little stub part of Russia that doesn't count. We're talking about real resources. We're talking about real populations.
Vladivostok, Asian Russia, Vladivostok, the capital of the fucking free world.
All I know is that there is a center of the world, and it's not in fucking Europe. Okay, there's a middle country, and it's not in the middle of a fucking like peninsula of a continent. Okay, these guys, okay. Fatah and Hamas are not meeting in Geneva to figure out how they're going to...
Palestine should be the middle of the world. Jerusalem, Al-Quds, that should be the primer, or like the equator and the prime meridian, I think. It's like, that makes sense. Hamas is a Western power, and Fatah is an Eastern power. That's why they don't like them, because Hamas, they started in very similar ways, and they use similar strategies, except for fighting Israel. Let's say the PA security, they're Eastern despots that the U.S. employs, which is why they're very well-liked in the West. And Hamas, they're, you know, They're Western despots.
They're Western backed.
They don't like America.
They're Western backed like, Islamist extremists, yeah. Right?
No, they're like Mitterrand or something. They're like Western guys who like keep getting elected. So that's why the U.S. is really pissed about them. They're going to fucking do a coup like Australia or something. That's the East-West line, dude. They're like Orban. Like the U.S. is like annoyed with them or something. Think about it. Europe is everything west of Jerusalem, and Asia is everything east of it.
I think we're going to see...
There's something here.
I think we're going to see like this, map. Like, shriveled stump of a continent just, like, fucking die. This shit is not going to last into the 21st. These guys are going to be gone in 2200.
Europe?
Yes.
I think it... Dude, I hate to say this, but I think they're going to be around, and they're going to be doing even better, probably. No,
they're going to be doing worse.
Because, like, global warming is going to make those places livable. You're going to be able to fucking...
No, it's going
to
make...
Go outside.
It's not going to make... Have you seen... They can't even run their nuclear reactors anymore because of global warming. They're not going to be able to live in the future. The only places that will be able to live will be, like, South Africa and North America.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling a little pessimistic this week. I'm worried England's going to start producing good wine.
That sounds like nonsense to me. I think that these guys are not coming back. They're going down. I'm not going
to
see them again.
Well, there's two ways it could go. Either, the working classes of the world overthrow and destroy the, dictatorial class, really control, bourgeoisie, or the mutual ruination of all classes, which I see ending in a situation where Europe is rich and covered in blood and growing wine in England. Otherwise... utopia. You either grow wine in England or the world's a good place. Look what happened the last time they were growing wine in England, the 100 Years' War. Do we want that? No.
Yeah, we're talking about the college campus protests. Sitting in a...
Yeah, good luck. Everybody head out there and check out your local protests. Go hang out with the teens and the college students. Don't be afraid to get arrested. Everybody that got arrested in Boston the other day fucking immediately let out of prison because they're like, what we did was illegal. We're hoping if you leave, you won't sue us.
Yeah, yeah. So, they just keep you until the middle of the night. Then they let you go at like 3 a.m. or something. It's fucked,
unless you have like a giant crowd of people chanting outside the jail.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, exactly. You get out and there's like a bunch of people and they're like, do you need help? Do you need help? What do you need help with? It's really awesome.
And you're concussed and you're like...
Exactly. And you come out of there... cigarettes? And you know that your glasses have been taken off and like smashed by the cops. And so you're like feeling out in front of you like a blind man. And they're like, what can we help you with? But your wife is right there to take you home. So everything's okay.
Wow. I don't do any of that.
That happens every time.
I don't have glasses or a wife. Okay. You hear that, folks?
And she's like, I had to wait 4 hours, you asshole. What the fuck? So then you get a little lecture on the way home. It's awesome.
That's how you quit Twitter. You got logged out.
Anyway, so I'm at Go Club last night, and this guy is playing against me, and he insists on not playing me with a handicap. He starts off, every time I've played him, I've defeated him with my eyes closed. And he's like, all right, so do you want to choose for color? And I'm like, what are you talking about? You're going to take black. So we choose for color. He gets black. And I ask him, do you want to take a handicap? No, I don't want a handicap. I'll be fine. We play the game.
Is this in person?
Yes, in person.
Wait, so we can't be cheating? Let's see the thing like the chess guy.
We haven't got to that level yet, unfortunately, because there's so many positions in Go. The butt plug technology is not at the level for cheating.
No, you get a you get like a 9x9.
Anyway, so this dude like is playing me, and he has the audacity, even though he's a much weaker player, to challenge me without a handicap. Can't believe it. So disrespectful. And so anyways, I have to defeat him. So I'm concentrating really hard. And I can't quite pick up whether or not directly behind him there's a woman who's like being interviewed or who's studying or something. Anyways, they're having like a public studying session, two women. And one of them is kind of the leader and the other one is like listening along. And I can't tell okay, so there's, these are students at the local university, and I can't tell if it's a like an astroturfer teaching the other one all of the Zionist like talking points, because I kept hearing them say, and then we believe, and then I had to focus on the game, so I can't quite eavesdrop totally on their conversation, and I could not tell, is this person pro-Palestine or are they some sort of like Zionist astroturfer and they're like loading up this person with all the talking points? Because I kept hearing little snippets.
Hip? Were they dressed well? Like, how were the shoes nice? Yeah,
they were dressed like, well. They were dressed well.
Like, hip?
They both looked nice.
Like, their clothes fit, like, properly?
Yes.
With baggy or anything?
It was,
I don't know, probably
it
woke.
Was difficult to tell. It was very well put together. They were going through all of the talking points. But, you know,
were they business cash?
That's what my first thought, right, was that when I heard them, right, because they were so professional about going through all the talking points that they've got to be a Zionist, some sort of Zionist astroturfer.
Look, the movement has developed pretty significantly.
Yes, it has, right? It has. And I'm hearing more and more about the media strategy of the student protesters and how they have trained themselves not to be caught unawares and not to speak to the press unless they have these talking points, trained people that's ready, right? And so that's what
like a valid strategy.
Right?
Like, if you're like a normal, cool guy and the press is there, they're looking for nervous weirdos with a heart of gold. That's their ideal person to interview so they can torture somebody with poor social skills. If you're cool, go talk to the press. Unless the organization hosting it. Apparently you don't talk to the press. They're going to go pick on somebody, so it might as well be you. You know, our intelligent, dear listener. Like, it's cool being on the press.
Not bad. Not bad to approach the organizers and ask about talking points and what you should say.
Just say what I say.
If you're asked in the press. Having a coherent media strategy and keeping on top of all the talking points is very, very important. Unfortunately, you know, Americans need to have things repeated to them several times. And it needs to be very clear. Yes. So keep it short and sweet. And you want to make sure every other person is saying literally the exact same thing. So that they hear
that
it
again.
That is
true. Yeah, you do want it to be exactly the same. That's true.
Yeah, you want to keep this shit on message.
I'm proud of these college students. They're very professional. And there was, what was that? That school in Colorado where they just beat the shit out of the cops. Like one person got arrested. And they're like, hey, this works really well. Fuck the quad. Go take the fucking admin building. What are they going to do? Kill you? They're not going to kill you. You know? And if they kill you, yo, legends. You know? People are still talking about Kent State. Not the other like 20 universities that had a massacre, but still. If you're the first one, that's fantastic. We need to cut that. Well, people, it's not that big of a deal if the cops shoot you.
It's a big deal.
Illegal?
If the cops shoot you, it's a pretty big deal. Getting shot.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal, but it could be kind of good.
Sucks, but yes, not gonna lie.
You're gonna get shot anyway.
We're gonna get in trouble. Right? Yeah, we're totally gonna. Yeah, this is a cancelable offense. Yes, but the cop shooting a college kid on the U.S. campus would probably be positive for a Palestinian.
As long as it's not a Palestinian. Statehood. If you are a Palestinian, do not get shot by the cops. They will not care. It won't help.
You heard it here first.
If you were like an Aryan super soldier with like a 4.0 GPA, maybe. You know? You need to be very successful. Your dad has to run a Fortune 500, okay? You, fantastic martyr for the cause of Palestine. I'm serious. If your life is not going extremely well and the cops kill you, it doesn't matter. Probably. Okay, I think we've covered all our bases. We've told only people in the right state of mind who are very successful that would be kind of cool. Only if you're not doing anything. Fuck.
Yeah, actually, I've seen how people talk about this shit. If you are in any way some sort of loser, they're just gonna say he just killed himself because he was a loser. He was doing a suicide by cop, and he was just doing it because he was a loser. Fuck him. So you can only do this if you're cool.
Yeah, cool. 4.0, white as a fucking ivory piano key. And if you don't listen to this podcast, I think if you don't. All right, guys, I'm Bassam. My host is always positive. We like to call him AP here in the office. We are 542 feet beneath Langley, Virginia. And this is West Bank Robert.
That's right. Nice and safe. No Israeli bombs, nuclear missiles that have been shot down by Iranian air defenses can strike us here deep in our bunker.
No.
You cannot hit us
here.
The
only threat is the double agents and maybe yourself. Okay, fuck, how do we end this? Oh, yeah.
Free Palestine.
Fuck the police. All right, that's a wrap.